I want to start with a simple little text, actually, which some of you might know. It's from Proverbs 31, and it's verse 25. I've adapted it a little bit, but it simply says, "Clothe yourselves with strength and dignity, and you will laugh at the days to come." What a wonderful thought. I can tell that the PowerPoint is working the way you're looking up there. That's wonderful. Now, parables, as most of you will be aware, are stories with a hidden meaning, which could actually mean that there are many, many meanings behind each story, depending on the particular context of a time and place. So today I want to share a parable for dedicated followers of fashion, which I find in Matthew 22:1-14. You will probably know it well. It's the story of a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. And before we try to find a hidden meaning, this is as Jesus said it. "Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent others, saying, "Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, maltreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets of Marlow and invite everyone." No, I mean, it wasn't Marlow at the time, I know. "Invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without wearing a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Now, I don't know about you, looking around, it's not appropriate to many of you, but for me, it's a long time since I've been clubbing. But back in the 60s and 70s, there was a dress code which banned trainers and jeans, and you actually had to wear a tie. You wouldn't get through the door without a tie. But once in, off it would come. And then I just had to stay out of view of the bouncers for fear of actually being thrown out. It had the advantage that I actually couldn't go to the bar to get a round of drinks, because the barman might have reported me for not wearing a tie. But actually, it was a cheap night out at the club. The dress code was important, very important in the clubs and the churches, where at that time you would be frowned upon if you stepped into the presence of God wearing shorts and t-shirt. And the older ones among you might remember a song. You might remember a song from a group called The Kinks, all about a dedicated follower of fashion, which I think goes something like this. And the older ones might want to sing along.
They seek him here, they seek him there. His clothes are loud, but never squelch.
Okay, we could have great fun with things like that, couldn't we? And I know it's not a Christian song, although we seek him there, and, you know, it could be, couldn't it? But our wardrobes don't have to be full for us to be a dedicated follower of fashion, who will have the right clothes for any occasion at any time, because God actually invites us to take what we need from his wardrobe. And here's a picture I leave you with, because his wardrobe is actually the church. His wardrobe is the church. And if we're thrown out of the party, it's simply because we have chosen our clothes from the wrong wardrobe, or maybe decided to take off the dog collar or the tie. Now, I have brought a friend with me this evening to help illustrate the point. But at the moment, I can't see him, so excuse me if I keep looking around, hoping that he will be evident. He isn't dressed like any of you, so he might actually be worried that he's wearing the wrong clothes for this occasion, so he's gone into hiding somewhere. I mean, after all, it can be scary if you feel like the odd one out who is wearing the wrong clothes at a party, then hear a story that the host might tie your hands and feet and then throw you into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And, well, it's something you want to hide from, isn't it? Well, my friend is dressed all in green. Ah, I think I hear him. I think I know where he's hiding. Good hiding place, indeed. Hey, come out, my friend. You don't have to be down there. No, you don't. This is, here you are, you see, dressed in green. My friend. Would someone like to look after him, actually, for a while and keep him well-behaved? Yeah, thank you. Just look after him. Because yes, I didn't realize that. The same color as me. But please do look after him. And I'm going to tell you his story, actually, because it's an important story to tell. I adopted him into my family because I was told he would sing a new song to the Lord if I actually taught him how to sing it. But he didn't sing. So I went back to the pet shop owner and asked why, and was told to get him a mirror. Yeah, to get him a mirror because parrots, a bit like us, love to look at themselves in mirrors and see how beautiful they are. That actually didn't work, so I went back to the pet shop, and this time he suggested getting a ladder because parrots love to climb up and down ladders. But he still didn't sing a new song to the Lord. I went back again, this time bought a swing because apparently, I'm told, parrots love to play on swings. The parrot? You didn't do it, did you? You didn't swing or sing, so I went back for a fourth time, and this time was told to get a bell, as parrots like to make a lot of noise, don't you? Yeah, I know. And after going to all this trouble, the parrot still wasn't singing any sort of song to anyone, and one morning I found her lying, motionless, on the floor of her cage. I rushed back to the pet shop from where I had bought the mirror, a ladder, a swing and a bell, and asked what the problem could be. And he asked me, well, what are you feeding her with? And I said, food. You never mentioned food before. Now, I want to suggest to you that we have a problem in our churches up and down the country with people coming to the party wearing the wrong clothes and a lot of Christians wanting to look good, play hard, climb career ladders, and make a lot of noise, but don't eat the right food. They don't eat the right food. How can we hope to build the kingdom of God with children of faith when we're not feeding the children the food they need and encouraging them to wear the right clothes? The story of my parrot is the story of our faith, because we actually rejoice in the Lord when we can look in the mirror and see how good we look, can enjoy a swinging night out on the town, climb the career ladders to earn more money, and make a lot of noise without realizing that the words we speak are all just hot air or a tuneless song with love, the absent dance partner. Without the daily bread that only God can provide, we will indeed collapse in a sickly heap at the bottom of our cage, which is what the church does seem to be doing in many places, because we can't be recognized as the people that God made us to be. There was a woman. A woman had a major operation and then heard God tell her that she was now going to live for another 10 years. So decided that she was going to make the best of her time. And while she was in hospital, she would have a facelift, a tummy tuck, and other things that would make her look good. When it was all done, she looked in the mirror and rejoiced in what she saw and how she could now go on one of those great shopping sprees for glamorous new clothes and become a dedicated follower of modern fashion. She was going to be a real swinger, climb that ladder and make a lot of noise. But as soon as she left the hospital, she was hit by a double-decker bus and died. When she arrived in hospital, she confronted God and said, "You told me I had another 10 years to live." God shook his head and simply said, "I'm sorry, but I didn't recognize you." Now I wonder if God recognizes us. I wonder if God recognizes us all dressed up in our smart clothes, made-up faces and well-groomed hair, or will look at us and ask how we managed to join the party wearing what we're wearing. I mean, I think when Adam and Eve put on some new clothes for a party, I imagine their father finding them and saying with surprise, "What on earth are you wearing?" We decided we needed some new clothes with a bit more style and fashion, they told the father. The father asked, "Well, what was wrong with the clothes that I gave you? You're not going out dressed like that." Such words are spoken by many a parent to their teenage children today. And then before banishing them from the garden, the father, made some new clothes for Adam and Eve to wear, but people haven't been dedicated followers of his fashion since that time, reaching out to take what they choose to fill their own wardrobes with, costly made items by human hand, rather than wearing what God freely gives from his wardrobe. Now, I don't know about you, but I really do want and work hard to be a dedicated follower of fashion. And I'm sure you do too. But if we want to be welcomed at the great wedding banquet, we have to be wearing those clothes from God's wardrobe, not the expensive designer models from the high street stores. We seem to have discarded the clothes God gave us in the beginning, and become dedicated followers of worldly fashion. But looking good in expensive clothes won't get us into the party. Even if we get past the bouncers, the host will spot us and ask us to leave. Now I want to suggest that we can dress down for our Father. Dress down. And dare I say it, even strip off the man-made garments that cost us so much money, because they are hiding our real identity, the people that God made us to be. I want to be a dedicated follower of gospel fashion. Yes, gospel fashion. But people don't even dress like that, even in church, because the priority seems these days to look cool. And anyone who wears God's clothes must, after all, be a bit of a fool. Now before, if there are any of you, before you start wiping off the makeup or covering your nice new dress with an old coat, It is our attitude. It is our attitude which makes us a dedicated follower of gospel fashion. And if we're wearing the clothes of Christ, all our embarrassing bits and weaknesses will be covered up and everything else will be forgiven. When Jesus died, he left his clothes behind, folded in the tomb as if to say, I want you to wear them now. I want you to wear them now. And there's that command in John's Gospel, which is the fundamental key to our ministry. Because he says, love each other as I have loved you, which is like wearing the same clothes that he wore, secondhand clothes, if you like. It's not actually a love defined in the dictionary, but a word translated by human action into an intimate relationship with our Father. Because we have come to know the heart and mind of God through Jesus. We are clothed in the image of God from the very beginning with that coat of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, strength and dignity, which were sewn together with the threads of love. And to this day, to this very day, there is nothing better to be seen wearing. And I really do. I want to be a dedicated follower of his fashion. The kingdom, sometimes I used to preach in black churches, and at that point they would go, Amen, praise the Lord. Amen? Yeah, good, good. Interaction is good sometimes, isn't it? Yeah? Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. The kingdom of heaven is where the will of God is being done. And the will of our Father is that the children on earth are dedicated followers of his fashion. That is the style of clothing specially made in heaven and modeled on earth by Jesus Christ. But a lot of us, yeah, even people here maybe, a lot of us are embarrassed to wear this attitude or will only wear it for special occasions like weddings or church events. And if we are embarrassed to wear the clothes from his wardrobe, our Father is not going to be happy when we roll up dressed in our strange fashions. At some point you can look at Mark 8:38 and you will see how I've connected it. We get all dressed up in big hats, colourful dresses, smart suits, made-up faces and attractive hairdos so that we will look good from head to toe. But we can't fool God, who can see right through what we're wearing to everything that we try to hide. Do you know, I can see that with a look, with a simple look, God washes off the makeup, takes off the wig, strips off your clothes and sees you for who you really are and asks, perhaps, how did we manage to get in wearing what we're wearing? Yes, God can see right through us and sees us actually inside out. God has prepared everything for the banquet in the kingdom of heaven. But we're like people on a night out walking down Marlowe High Street and trying to find somewhere to eat, but we don't like the menu and the slug and lettuce or the pizza or wherever it may be. So we walk on by. Don't have a pizza. What is it? It's a pizza. Whatever it is, yeah, anything. There has to be someone who wants to spoil you. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, that's okay. I'll try and get my facts right. The important thing, Dave, he doesn't give up. And if there wasn't a pizza, he would find one to take us to. He doesn't give up. So send some servants to share the good news that we're actually invited to the banquet. Ah, we don't pay much attention, though, do we? Because we got more important things to do. So we lose our opportunity. We lose our opportunity to share in the great celebration. Now, if we look closer at some of the verses in the story from Matthew 22, and the first thing to note is that the banquet is ready, and it is good. It's really good. And that God wants everyone to come and share in the kingdom of heaven. But as we look around, there are some other distractions. and we neglect some of the responsibilities that we have been trusted with. It's Genesis stuff, really. It's Genesis stuff. And we're the Adam and Eves who feel weak and vulnerable, dressed as we are, so hide behind our new fashions. We create identities for ourselves which make us feel better and stronger and less vulnerable. We even give our clothes brand names. We do. We give them brand names like Methodist or Anglican, Catholic or Baptist or some other name, but the only clothes that don't wear out are the ones found in God's wardrobe. Even in the river, your clothes might shrink. Forget that one. That was a bad one. As a servant of the King, as a servant of the King, you will wear what you're told to wear. So when you're sent from the church to invite people to the street association party or to some other party, they see you in these amazing clothes from the wardrobe of the King. And you don't have to change from work clothes to wedding clothes, because his is a fashion for all occasions. A his and her design with one size to fit all. And I wonder if that's why Jesus sent out his disciples and 72 dedicated followers of his fashion with the instructions not to take even a change of clothes with them. What he's given us to wear is enough. Being a dedicated follower of gospel fashion means that we're easily identified as servants of the King, and it's a challenging ministry when you go out into the community and are recognized for who you really are. Some people will ignore you. I'm sure you've experienced that. Some will mock and scoff at you, but some will crucify you in public before God will fill the banqueting hall. Don't change your clothes if you're wearing the right ones, because God will know that you're not being a dedicated follower of his fashion. And Jesus warns against those false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but underneath they are like ferocious wolves. We are sent. We are actually sent to be like lambs among a world of wolves. But underneath our clothing, let's be honest, we see it in all our churches. Underneath our clothing, many of us have the heart of a wolf, which is evident in our moody reactions, or snappy judgments, and angry outbursts, which bring fear to our communities instead of the love of trust, patience, perseverance, and forgiveness. You don't have to strip off to reveal what you're wearing under your clothes, because God can see. And only those who actually do the will of the Father will be admitted to the party. These are gospel quotes I'm giving you, by the way. It's not just made up stuff. We will argue. It's from Matthew 7. We will argue that we did all the right things, made wonderful prophecies in his name, drove out demons and performed many miracles through our churches. But when we arrive at the party, the host might well say, I don't recognize you. I travelled back from London to Birmingham once before I came down to Marlow, and the train was so full that I had to stand all the way and was absolutely exhausted by the time I arrived in New Street Station with a bus journey still to contend with. I was relieved, so relieved, to find a seat on the bus into which I thankfully collapsed. But as the bus filled, an older lady with a walking stick was left standing. Now, as much as I wanted to, I could not ignore her need, so offered her my seat. And as I did, she said, "Aren't you the minister from the church on the hill?" I said, "Yes," and she smiled and said, "Oh, it's such a shame that more people don't follow your example." If I hadn't stood up, she would have still recognized me as being a member of River Church, or the Methodist Church, or the United Reformed Church, or wherever it is. And what would she have said about me and the church then? There is only one set of clothes you need to be wearing to make you a dedicated follower of gospel fashion. So if you have taken what you're wearing from God's wardrobe, don't change. But if you haven't, strip off now and get dressed in the right clothes while you still have the opportunity, because the opportunity is always there for us. The servants are all wearing clothes from God's wardrobe, and they go to the street corners to invite the drunks and the addicts, the prostitutes and the criminals, along with all who are dressed with a good attitude, to come and be guests at the banquet. And it's amazing, isn't it, how the place is filled with homeless people and hungry people, sick people from hospitals and criminals from prison, alongside dedicated followers of fashion wearing the clothes of Christ. There are some regular churchgoers who slip into the party, but they're wearing religious clothes rather than being dressed like Jesus, and they're asked to leave. I want to be one of those who responds to the invitation, is welcomed because I'm wearing the right clothes rather than the impressive flowing robes of our time, which can fool everyone but God. So I wondered why a bird would dress like a parrot rather than like an eagle that can fly, or like a dove which brings peace to the world. And my feathered friend told me, "I'm not an eagle, and I'm not a dove, but I'm proud to be who God made me to be. You dress up in clothes that make you look different to how God made you. But I can look in a mirror and rejoice in what God made." And my friend goes on to tell me, "The ladders you climb are to better yourselves, but the ladder I climb is so that I can get closer to God and give thanks. And when I sit on my swing, I am patiently waiting for God to give me an encouraging push so that I can swing into action. And when I make noise with my bell, it reminds me that the fight isn't over and another round must begin." That still didn't answer why my parrot didn't sing when I tried to teach him to sing a new song to the Lord, but the answer really was obvious. If you heard yourself sing, you would know that it's impossible to learn a tune from someone who sings like you do. Thank you, friend. We can gamble like soldiers at the cross for a piece of the clothing Jesus wore, probably hoping that we could touch it and be healed. But it isn't the coat that caused miracles for people who touched it, but the person who was wearing it. And if we wear his attitude, which is woven together with love, we will become dedicated followers of the gospel fashion who choose their clothes from God's wardrobe. And we will be sent out to invite people into the kingdom of heaven, and our churches will be full and overflowing, and the street associations, celebrations will touch people's lives in such a special way that's never been seen before. Thank you. Today you're invited to the party in your shorts and t-shirts. jeans and trainers, smart new dresses and dapper suits, knockout perfume even, and beautiful hairstyles. But that doesn't make you a dedicated follower of gospel fashion, and God can see how you are dressed underneath all of that. Don't worry about what you will wear, but let God provide for you what you need from his wardrobe, so he can recognize you as a dedicated follower of his fashion, who is welcome in the kingdom of God. So I'd love to invite you to stand up if you want God to clothe you with garments of salvation and to cover you in a robe of righteousness, so that your heart will dance with delight as you rejoice with the Lord. Isn't it interesting that that is from Isaiah 61 as well, which we heard earlier in the service, something from Isaiah 61. Do you want to be clothed like that? Do you want to be a dedicated follower of God's fashion? I do. And I'm sure you do here in River Church. And when you're dressed like that, believe me, the year to come and the year after that, Peter, Love Marlowe is going to be something amazing next year. God bless you all. Amen.